מאמין שהם אין בג'ל עומדית חיכי אישי ששפרת אישי
should have been communicated to the secretary of the committee. were you dealing with?
I don't remember the person's name. Mr. Pagat knows the gentleman who was signed last year.
Yes, sir, Mr. Pagat.
We issued the annual report.
No, we're talking about the presentation today. Presentations. The one that the minister is using now for the purposes of the members to understand what he's talking about.
As for the sake of progress, maybe we could ask staff for taking time to post. If there's a normal receipt, then we could be producing, could do one of the two.
And I thought Mr. Chiello was saying was that Mr. Party had arranged with officials from your committee so that the PowerPoint presentation can be on the screen so one find out what happened. This boy, who can you assist on this one in terms of a problem?
Hard copies.
Oh, hard copies. I was told that we are waiting for technical people from the committee so that we can put the thing on the screen. That's what the lady told us. Okay. So.
Please, sir, I do have this PowerPoint presentation on the USB.
Hello, to Adnolele Umandu, technical staff, please.
See, let's proceed. It's not an old minister here for a long time. Quite clearly, the work has not been done. But if I want to have to wait for it, this is going to take a long process. It's a plea.
Honorable members, let us have one meeting. I'll give the minister the opportunity to continue, hoping that the members will be able to grasp the presentation when the technical unit is still working on this USB thing. Thank you, over to you. Can you switch off that mic, Dr. Chen?
Thanks, sir. Honorable Chairperson, sorry, with apologies to the minister. I can't seem to find the 2014 report either in the documents that we've been presented. We've been given this stack of documents, which is quite a lengthy report, but it only deals with 2013. I'm not sure whether it's only my own that there's a problem. My apologies again, Minister.
I will need to add more answers. Thank you. Over to you, Honourable Minister.
Thanks. As I indicated in my opening remarks, we've been asked to make a presentation on the 2013 annual report as well as on the first and second quarter of 2014. And also I've indicated that the letter from the committee was indicating that there might be some outstanding reports. I just want to confirm that we do not have any outstanding reports. We've submitted all reports, the annual report of 2013, and all the reports for 2014. So in my second part of the presentation, I will give an indication of all the reports for the 2014 financial year. And I've also indicated that the NCACC is a cabinet committee, sui generis, and the president appoints members of the committee. For the 2015 annual report, the following members who have been appointed by the President, myself as the Chairperson, Minister Pando, Deputy Chair, and ministers Mafisa Ngabula, Nkwana Mashabane, Rob Davis, Kwele Mthethwa, and deputy ministers Nene and Makweta. That is for the 2013 annual report. In terms of the framework under which we operate as a CACC, we also take into account the treaties that are based on international public law, which are legally binding, and all the conventions that we have signed that are based on international common law, and also the international interest group arrangements. There are also certain treaties and conventions that we also adhere to in our operation as the NCCC, conventional weapons, the amended protocol 2, and the arms trade treaty, biological chemical weapons control, the Fastenach arrangement, which pertains to conventional arms and dual use control items, and also the treaty under the nuclear non-proliferation on the arms of mass destruction. In terms of the pillars of our arms control, we are guided principally by the NCACC Act, which you as members promoted in Parliament, which is administered by the Department of Defense. We also adhere to the Non-Proliferation Act, which is administered by the Department of Trade and Industry. We also adhere to the Firearms Control Act and the Explosive Act, which is administered by the Department of Police Services. As I've indicated, the legislation under which we act is the National Conventional Arms Control Act, as amended, and also the National Conventional Arms Control Act also frames the regulation of Foreign Military Assistance Act, which was passed in 1998, together with the prohibition of mercenary activities and regulation of certain activities in an area of armed conflict, which was passed in 2006. In terms of policy imperatives, the Act captures the aims and objectives being to ensure compliance with the policy in respect of arms control, and we implement legitimate and effective and transparent control process, and also we provide the inspectorate to ensure compliance with the provisions of the Act. And part of our imperatives is to ensure that we protect both the economic and security interests of the Republic, but also to foster national and international confidence in the control over trade in all those conventional arms. In terms of the hierarchy of decision making, as I indicated, the NCACC is a cabinet committee sui generis, and under the NCACC Act committee, we have the scrutiny committee, which is like a committee that reviews applications that come from the defense industry. And the scrutiny committee consists of various government departments that assist the NCACC in order for us to take informed decisions. And those departments include the Department of Defense, the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, Trade and Industry, the American Police Service, State Security, as well as Defense Intelligence. The Scrutiny Committee is established in terms of Section 7 of the Act, and it is chaired by the Secretary of Defense, who is also the Director General of the Department of Defense. And it consists of very senior members of government. It also scrutinizes and also recommends to the NCACC. So underneath it as well, we've got a secretariat, which is a Directorate for Conventional Arms Control, which is established in terms of Section 8 of the Act. This body serves as a secretariat of the National Arms Control Committee. It is like your interface of government and the private sector in order to assess applications. We also have a special body
within our committee, which is called the Inspectorate, which does inspection of the industry and also does periodic audits to make sure that the companies that apply to us are compliant with all the provisions of the Act as well as policy. The inspectorate, they ensure the conduct in conventional arms control, that it is done in accordance with our law, and also to ensure that the internal regulatory processes of ourselves as a committee are always complied with. In terms of guiding principles, we are guided by Section 15 of the Act in particular, with special reference to United Nations security resolutions, checking whether a particular country is arms embargo or not. And also on governance, we look at the issues around human rights, the politics, we look at regional dynamics, whether the particular area or country is there stability or not, and also taking into particular account the risk of diversion, so that we should not be party to the proliferation by non-state parties. And also, as I've indicated in my earlier remarks, also are guided by our own national interests, both economic as well as security. In terms of safeguards on the countries where some of these conventional weapons are exported to, the receiving country must assure us as a committee that they have to make certain undertakings in terms of Section 16. In particular, we need a guarantee in terms of an end user certificate so that we avoid the possibilities of diversion of arms. That's why I'm saying that from time to time, the inspectorate, they do routine inspections. They can even enter and search premises when warranted, and also look at disclosure or non-disclosure of information in terms of Section 23. So in terms of the report, we are obliged in terms of the Act to report to Parliament, which we do. We do quarterly reports as well as annually, both to Cabinet and also to Parliament. And that is prescribed in Section 23 of the Act. In terms of our reporting procedures, the report always reflects the control items in terms of statistics of exports that have been authorized by us, the imports that we have authorized, including the conveyance, which when our country is being used to convey arms to other countries, be it Zimbabwe, Lesotho, or Botswana. And also to our report, also we also have to report to the United Nations in compliance with the Register of United Nations in all the categories that they have indicated. In terms of reporting cycles, the statistics are done on calendar, not financial year. And during the first quarter of current year, the annual report of post-calendar year is compiled. And during the second quarter, the first quarter report is also compiled. And as I've indicated, we also report to the United Nations. And before we do that, we also submit a report to Parliament in terms of our reporting requirements. In terms of liaison between South Africa and the United Nations, the Department of International Relations and Cooperation is our conduit with the United Nations that submits our South African report on our behalf. In terms of the statistics for 2013, in the Appendix A, we indicate statistics of what we have approved in 2013. In terms of registrations, we registered about 131 companies, and also we authorized the marketing of 8. In terms of the contracting, we issued authorization of 288 permits. We denied 8, and the composite ratio of all those, both marketing and contracting permits issued, was about 79 billion grant, but to not think that is cash in hand. It's just a name of the items. Because sometimes authorizing doesn't mean that there is actual delivery and money has been received. It's just there. Then in terms of the number of countries that we contracted to Westland, in terms of actual exports, we approved 2,057 permits, and the value of those permits is about 3.1 billion rand, and to about 83 countries. In terms of imports, we authorized about 2,110, and value of those imported items was 169 million rand to 73 countries, and we also authorized about 3 permits for conveyors. In the annexure, in the report that we submitted to yourselves, it indicates the countries where these arms were exported to, ranging from Jordan, the African Union, where there are peacekeeping missions, to Benin, Equatorial Guinea, Malawi, Sierra Leone, Uganda, United Arab Emirates, and so on. And also imports is indicated in the program that they have indicated with the rand values and the quantities which we reported to yourselves. And also we also describe in detail the type of weapons that we authorize, combat aircraft, attack helicopters, warships, light weapons, bombs and rockets, ammunition, electronic equipment, etc., etc. So all those are indicated in much detail. I must also indicate that there was an issue that was raised by the committee previously about the detail of the information that we provide to the committee. And also we've changed our reporting method to give more details of what is done in terms of what the committee had requested. So that's in a nutshell the 2015 report. I don't know, Chair, whether you want us to discuss that first before I move to the 2014 reports.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. I suggest to go to 2014.
On the 2014 one, as I indicated, the letter from the committee of the 29th July had requested us to give the first and second quarter report of 2014. But we felt that we should give the whole of 2014 because we have already submitted those reports of 2014 to Parliament in order to ensure that we have a complete report. I think the only change that has happened between 2013 and 2014 is that there were elections in May last year, and then the President has to appoint a new committee. And the members of the new committee is myself as the Chair, and Minister Pando as Deputy Chair, and Ministers Mapisa Mbula, Kwanam Shabane, Davis, Mashoro, Lego, and Brown, and Deputy Ministers Mapatwe, Lenders, and Jones. So in Appendix A, on the 2014, the registrations that were effected in 2014 were 107, and we issued 15 marketing permits, and we authorized contracting permits to the tune of 326, and we denied about 12 applications, and the value of those authorizations was about 42 billion, and the number of countries that were contracted were 84. In terms of export permits, we issued 2,418 permits, and the value of those permits is about 2.9 billion rand to 86 countries globally. In terms of imports, we authorized 1,625, and the value of those import permits were 200 million rand and 55 countries, and we only issued one conveyance permit. In terms of Annex A, we give more details as to the details of that, and in Appendix B, we also give more details about the type and distribution of the weapons imported, such as armored combat vehicles, such as missiles and missile launchers, to countries ranging from United Arab Emirates, Switzerland, United Kingdom, Czech Republic, Saudi Arabia, Uganda, United States of America, and in terms of export, also the type and description, attack helicopters, heavy weapons, all those details are there, light weapons, bombs and rockets, rounds of ammunition, all those details are there. So that's the annual report of 2014. So I rest my case there, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for the report, Honorable Minister. I'll hand over to Honorable Members to ask questions and questions of clarification. Honorable Marais, Honorable, is your hand still up, please? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Minister. Minister, just maybe for my own clarity, if you can just explain the difference between the contracting and then if you look at exports and imports, obviously there's a huge difference between those values. One assumes that contracting means that there was a transaction following that. But if you look at imports and exports, obviously it's not even close to that, and if you look at both the 13 and 14 years. So somewhere there was contracts that took place. Was that for the domestic industry that it applied to, or how would one explain that difference between the total contracting value and then subtracting the exports and imports? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think the first question I'd like to pose, Honourable Chair, would be the delay in the annual report. I've heard the apology from Minister, but what are the actual mitigating circumstances and issues that caused the delay? Because it's a scheduled annual report that must come to the committee, and also the quarterly reports that come in. The second one is, follow on to Honourable Marais' question is, what are the MTF projections? Because a number of these contracts were probably multi-year contracts. So it wouldn't be in one specific year. Therefore, we may find differences also in values. If you can just have a sense of what is the projected of the different projects, that is not indicated in the report, actually. So many vehicles is for such one, etc. But doesn't give you the multi-year payment or agreement that is in place. The other one is that if we can have a sense of, I see it fluctuates, the numbers between the companies registered and companies now re-registered. 131 in 2013, that's down to 107. What were the reasons for that actually? And then also the issue of the inspectorate. Is the inspectorate capacitated to deal with all these issues effectively? And is the minister happy as chair of the NTSCC that the inspectorate has the capacity to execute its duty efficiently and effectively, so that there's no gaps or loops or things created in the system? The other one is that there's, of course, the denials of 8 and 12 applications. If we could just have a sense of what was the reason for the denial. There were also some cases in the past that we dealt with, people that contravened the act. and they were being investigated. What were the consequences of those findings, and of course, were they blacklisted, those people that were escorting or dealing in arms that the NCAC picked up? The other one is the issue of the applications denied and also the contravention that happened previously. I'd like the auditors ask the issue of the minister also indicated that he would also give us just an idea of the report that had come to the court before, and where that if all reports have been submitted, then there's no report outstanding. If it's up to quarter one, quarter two, that's been submitted as well. But the minister offered to give some indication of what has transpired. So, thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much, honourable members. Any other member who wishes to ask a question before I hand over to the honourable minister? It's gone. Over to you, honourable minister.
Thanks, Chair, and the members who ask questions. On the first one, the differences in terms of contracting and so on. The way the system works, companies start by applying to be registered so that they are on our database. So from year to year it's different, because I'm sure with the market conditions, companies in their marketing strategies are different. You might find that there's a difference between a wish and the actual action. So how they succeed, it depends on how aggressive they might be. So a company might be given a marketing contract by the NCACC. They market their product, but maybe those partners of theirs overseas do not actually sign a contract with them. So that's why there's a difference in terms of what we authorize and what eventually comes as money into South Africa. Sometimes they might ask, we might authorize, let's say, 20 million rand worth of export by a South African company, let's say, to the United Kingdom. When the client in the United Kingdom gets this equipment, then maybe they like it, then they ask for an increase, then find that maybe at the end the contract value increased to 30 million rand. So that's why there's this fluctuation in terms of the statistics that we have. In terms of delay in annual reports, as I've said, there's not been any delay from our part. For an example, the 2013 report, we submitted it to Parliament and I signed it. It was delivered to both the Speaker and the Chairperson of the NCOP. So we have all the documentation that indicates that we have totally complied with our reporting requirements. In terms of the inspectorate, I am satisfied that the inspectorate is doing a very good job, but we can do with a lot of capacity in the inspectorate. They are very good professionals. The only problem I have is that when companies violate the NCACC Act, and this matter is reported to the police and to the NPA, I do not think that's my perception. I do not think that they take these cases in a serious manner as they would do in other types of crimes. So that's why you find that in some instances they just give a warning or the matter just rests on and on. This is the matter that I have personally addressed with the NPA to say that we should not always be barking, but we must also bite, so that the industry must realize that they have to adhere to the Act, which is the law of the Republic of South Africa. On the issue of the denials, the reasons would be ranging from maybe
Beijing and the United Nations Security Council embargo against a particular country, then we are obliged in terms of our international obligations not to give authorization. Sometimes, in terms of the documentation, we do not believe that the arms will go to that country. If there's a risk of diversion, then we also do not authorize that. Other times, the reason is that you find that in that country or in the region, in that particular region, the proper situation is very unstable, so we do not want to exacerbate and fuel conflicts in those kind of countries. So in a nutshell, the reasons depend on the particular case, but those are broad outlines that are indicated in Section 15 of the ACC Act. The provisions of the Act are already indicated. So the inspectorate, they do unannounced visits to companies to make sure that they are compliant. In some instances, when the contravention is not that serious, then the inspectorate advises the company to comply and so on. And in instances, we've also summoned companies to the NCCC to explain themselves. So we've done so even with state-owned companies such as AMS and Denel, because our role is to be an honest broker and also to adhere strictly in terms of the act. So that's agreed. In certain instances, when we feel that companies are not adhering to policies to the act, we deny them, even when, for example, they might ask us a permit to export an item, let's say, to London to demonstrate in a marketing exercise, and then they decide that okay, now they want to contract, but they don't tell us on time that they want to do this, assuming they don't approve it. Then sometimes we deny it because we don't want to set a very bad precedent. So it's there are many limitations in this. But what I'm happy about is that the scrutiny committee plays a very critical role, because these are experts, defense intelligence, the secret service, trade and industry, and so international relations. So in that committee, they are able to have what one could call below the line kind of information. So we have a very good understanding whenever a particular proposal or recommendation comes before us. So in terms of our working, we meet at least once a month in order to ensure that we can be able to support our defense industry around the world.
Thank you. Is it a follow-up? Okay. And another follow-up on Honorable Marais, on the very same question that you have asked. Oh, thank you.
Chair, I just wanted to request from the Honorable Minister to just respond to the capacity of the inspector of dealing with all the issues, and really if there are any major challenges that this committee is experiencing, if there are any challenges from this committee side. I think there's also a report in the SPAR that was some time back, investigation of sale of conventional weapons of mass destruction to countries in conflict like Sudan, Syria and Kenya, which were procured by the new generations of arms management for ISA special forces and shipped to those countries instead by DSG. What was the judgment by the court? There was a court issue on that matter. If the minister is aware of that and if there was a final verdict on that matter. I think there's also a previous one as well, is the case of the South African soldiers. I think there was a case, let me just get the case quickly. would have. But I think there was a concern about mercenary activities that were taking place in under the banner of security. Like in Iraq, a number of South African ex-soldiers and people have been participating in under security for countries and operating in that area. There's also the great concern we have, not only of the arms proliferation or that we of course want to subscribe to, but the issue like not currently of South Africans that are joining ISIL and South Africans that are joining the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force as well. And we know there's a lot of atrocities by the Amnesty report that has come through as well, great atrocities and abuse of human rights. So what caution does the NCSA normally provide in terms of those areas of conflict and problems?
Thank you very much, Minister. I was just wondering whether those differences that you've mentioned, whether that's an indication. My first assumption is on contracting is that is an indication of the industry of our capacity and what we can deliver. And then if you look at what is actually exports, then there's a huge difference. For instance, in 2013 year, the average value of a contract is 277 million rand, and the permit value per permit is only 1.5 million rand. So there seems to be a huge difference between, as and I perceived it, the capacity and ability of our industry and what is actually materialized. And if you transfer that into economic value, then that's 42 billion and the 79 billion compared to the, you know, the much smaller values. There seems to be an opportunity that we need to investigate and get reasons why. I mean, what are the reasons? I mean, are we just not competitive enough? Have we lagged behind over the years? Or are there other reasons why we just cannot do the business? And I would very much like, you know, if there's an explanation for that. Thank you very much.
Honourable over to
Honourable Minister, that is a parting shot. Taking into account the role that South Africa plays in Africa and in southern region, are there any plans just to increase trade to concentrate mainly on Africa so that Africa trades on its own? Notice that the European countries that we trade with, just to advance the continent.
Thank you very much. Any other member who wishes to ask a question? Over to you, Honourable Minister.
Thanks, sir. I may not be aware of each and every case, but I can check with the committee. Maybe the staff and Jen are familiar with some of the cases. We can be able to indicate now. On the issue of national activities, as I've indicated, we're also the NCC Act also provides within it the prohibition of mercenary activities. So if there are instances where people violate the Act by participating there, then that would be contrary to the Act, so the police have to arrest those people. The issue of people like joining ISIS and so on, I think where there is information, I think law enforcement agencies should be informed. And I'm sure we are familiar with the famous case of this teenager who attempted to leave, and the police and civil security had to apprehend that. So our policy is very clear. Where there is evidence or information, action has to be taken. So I guess in terms of the capacity that the defense industry is a highly competitive one. And I must say, in spite of the challenges that we have in certain areas, South African companies actually have a competitive edge. I was actually pleasantly surprised that even special forces of America in countries like Afghanistan, in Iraq, actually use South African equipment for some of those armored vehicles, because it has been proven that even with big bombs, but they protect soldiers inside the armored vehicles. I never really believed that much until I went into a test range outside of Pretoria, where I saw in real life how effective this is. So the point being that with more support and drive, especially on marketing, we can be able to rise in terms of the defense industry. I think last week there was a very positive report about Danel, indicating the strides they are making also as part of the defense industry of South Africa. So I take your point that but it costs money, because this marketing, they can spend millions only to find that there's no actual contract. So I don't have the answers for that. Our job is just to look whether the law is being applied to. But as I said, in terms of the object of the act, our guiding principles, that's why where we need to support them, we support them, because it will be part of our national interest to support the economic interest of the company, and thereby by indication our country, because the more they succeed, the more we get in terms of foreign exchange as a country. On the issue of Africa, my perception is that our defense industry is number one in Africa. I don't think we have a competitor to speak of. That is why there are many African countries that are coming south for our support there. But also face a major challenge from the big countries, because they are aware of our potential capability. So, as you know, the defense industry is a dog eat dog, as it were. So, but I think we're holding our own as well. So I don't know if Seth and Jen want to add.
Thank you very much, Minister. Honorable Chairperson, we will then to the committee provide in writing within the next 7 to 10 days the response of non-compliance by certain companies, action taken against non-compliance consequences, so that we avoid the situation where we don't give accurate information to the committee. But just to emphasize what the Chairperson has said, that under his watch, he has been insisting on the consequences for the non-compliance to this NCCC. I think during this year, under review, ever reporting on regulations, NCCC regulations were published, and that has had a great deal to put teeth into the act itself. And what we do in our scrutiny committee, we do have police, intelligence, state security, defense, as well as NDA, that's sitting as within the committee. So when we refer the cases, we're able to make sure that they get accurate information in terms of enabling them to take action against those companies that are non-compliant. But for the end of review, we then give a report on non-compliance and action taken in that regard. Also on the issue of contracting, certain things have to be taken into account. Honorable member, that when you give a permit for contracting, it does not mean that the export will take place this year. The export might go over 5 years, and some of these contracts are over a period of 10 years, if not even more. So if you don't see exports today, let's just stay tuned and see what happens in the next year and the year after, because they don't all have to fall within the same given year. And some of this contracting is also just a contracting for exhibition, for display, it's temporary, and then they return back. They won't go down as export payment that we have recorded in the reports.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. If there are no other questions,
pass by it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much. Chairperson, I'm not quite sure whether this is the right forum, and I'm just quickly thinking of something that we heard on during our oversight. And obviously links to the defense industry and how we respond to especially requests from Africa. I remember, I think it was at Gerotech, that we were told that our equipment and vehicles, for instance, for peacekeeping in Africa, is the vehicles and equipment that was produced for South African circumstances, and there they arrive in the middle of Africa, totally different circumstances, vehicles that is not really been made and for those circumstances. How do one deal with that? Is this the right place that one can raise that? Because somewhere there must be liaison between your committee and the arms industry, and also obviously, how do we commit ourselves to peacekeeping in Africa when we had the photographs where Land Rovers were sucked into mud, which said it is the totally incorrect vehicle to use there, but that is what was available.
Oh, thank you very much, Honorable Minister. I think on this one, it's not the right one for the question of I just phrase this question for some other time, some other correct forums. Thank you very much. And in the absence of any other members in the observation, I'd like to thank the Honorable Minister and the Chair of the MC, of the committee, and of kind of for this report. And I'd like to ask honorable members to remain. Thank you very much, Mr. Ndoti.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate being invited to the committee.
Yes, honorable boy.
So, I just wanted to finally move for adoption of the report. After all, she said to
us. After the question. Oh, okay. What, there are two reports?
Yes.
Can you get them over and the agenda? Quickly. Honorable boy.
Second.
Honorable Kamete. Second. Thank you very much, honorable. Yes. Thanks. Honourable members, can we adopt the minutes of our last meeting, please? They are in front of you. We do form a quorum.
Move an adoption. An error.
Okay.
Yes.
The name Fiela
spelled
incorrectly. That error, and then members. Okay. Only one thing that has been identified by honorable is an error on the spelling. We have a mover in the name of Honorable Tom. Are you seconding, Honorable Kosa? The mic, can you switch off your mic and then it must be on record.
Yes, I do certain
things. Thank you very much, Honorable Kosa, for seconding. Then the minutes are adopted. Thank you very much.
Okay.